Come, walk down the winding path. Don't mind the spooks and monsters. They stay hidden within the trees. There are mysteries in this world that you need to know, and paranormal truths that need to be told. Come, step up into the caravan, where we share tales of old, as well as new accounts about things you thought only existed in your nightmares.
Hello, listeners. We have an amazing guest for you this evening. I met her actually online a few years ago whenever I was doing some research on cursed objects and came across a thing about letters that accompany cursed objects that get returned to their original home. And one of the most famous ones is the Bellwitch Cave. And so I came across Kara here, and I'll let her introduce herself. And Kara, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you. My name is Kara, and I have been a cave tour guide at the Bellwitch Farm for about four, maybe almost 5 years now, and I'm excited about being here with y'all today.
Yeah, I'm super happy that this worked out. Kara's been so awesome for me over the last few years, because we've known each other now, I think, about 3 years, maybe, whenever I tracked you down on Facebook. And I've actually been able to meet you in person now, so that's even better.
Yes.
Yeah, you said that you worked at the cave. First thing I wanted to ask you is, did you grow up in the area?
Yes, I grew up right in Cedar Hill, just outside of Adams. So I've lived in the area all of my life, my family, my grandparents. So this legend and this story of the Bellwitch has been in my life ever since. And so when people come around and ask, I knew about this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was pretty much born into it. So,
yeah. How did the opportunity to work at the cave come about?
Okay, so I am actually good friends with their daughter. And one summer, they messaged me asking if I would be interested in helping her parents doing some guided cave tours in the cave. And at first I was like, not quite sure, because like I said, all my life I've heard about the legend. And I was like, sure, why not? And that's how it got started. And I absolutely fell in love, and they're part of my family now. That's how it all got started. And I enjoy it very much.
That's awesome. So then if you had been to the cave prior to working there, of course, then, yes?
My first time I actually went was right when I graduated high school. So kind of like you live there, but you've never been until, you know, then. And then so my first time going, nothing like major happened, no activity. So I'm like, okay, nothing happened. And
right.
So I'm never going to go back again. And that was just a one-time deal. But now I'm pretty much stuck to it.
That's perfect. So, like, you grew up around the legend. What do locals think of the legend of the Bellwitch? Is it mixed ideas? Do they take it seriously?
The older people, they take it very seriously, and sometimes it's one of those things they don't just come out and talk about. It has to get into the story of things, and then it'll come out. But growing up, I pretty much heard about the legend of the Bellwitch and about John and how this spirit came to them. I heard about the rocks being taken out. That was like the number one thing that I know for a fact growing up, hearing about the rocks. I remember my mom, because I would ask my mom and my dad, hey, did, you know, y'all go to the cave, or what do y'all know about it? And I always remember my mom said it was horrible. So, of course, my mom's a big scaredy cat, and she don't like watching scary movies. So I'm like, so what was so bad? She's like, it was just horrible. It was, I guess at the time, the last owners, you could pretty much just go down there and do whatever. But I remember her always saying that they went to the graveyard of John Bell or the cemetery, and these boys that she was with were just provoking it, and she just didn't feel comfortable, and it was just, she just, all she said was, it was just horrible. So that's what I grew up hearing.
She had bad experiences, so just pass that on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But with my dad, he pretty much said, yeah, we went and we were in high school, nothing to it. Everybody in this area has mixed feelings about it. Some have had activity to happen with them. Some haven't had anything. So it's just a lot of mixed feelings about the Bell Witch in Adams.
What do they think about people coming into town and checking it out? Is it like amusing to them that when certain movies come out or so on, like the I would imagine tourism kicks up during certain parts?
When we get wind of someone coming into town, of course it's a small community, so everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And everybody gossips, and we're all watching, and we're ready to laugh. Because, you know, the past few years, people will have people that they're interviewing, like, we don't know who that is. And again, this is a small knit community. We know everybody. And when we see people that we don't know in the community, it's like, what's going on? And some people feel it's like they're mocking us and making it like it's a joke. And so sometimes it's uneasy going, and sometimes it's, oh, here we go again. But yeah,
I definitely remember finding, and I can't remember which documentary it was now, but I remember messaging you and saying, who was this? Because it said it was, she was the cave owner or former cave owner,
you know. And I still haven't figured any of that out either. I still don't know who that is. And I even asked the owners, and I'm like, y'all know who it is? And they don't even know. They don't even know where it took place at when they were like, were talking to her. So we get that a lot. So,
Because the Kirbys have owned the cave for a while now. Didn't they get it in the 90s?
Yeah, they've been there for about 30 plus years now. So, and they're not originally from this area, but now that they've been here for so long, they grew into the community, and so they know many people as I know.
Yeah. Now, like, this year, of course, was totally different for everybody because of COVID, but normally, when is the cave open? Because it's not a year-round thing.
No. Usually, we will open early in May, the first weekend of May, and only on the weekends, and then after Memorial Day we're open through the week and weekend. Our busiest time of the year is in October. We do guided night tours in the cave at certain times, and then our last day open is Halloween night, and that's our busiest and our most exciting time of the year.
Yeah, for that, can people just show up, or do you have reserved times for the Halloween?
No, as long as it's not raining, a lot of people will just show up when it's raining, and we do have it posted on our website. If it's raining, you need to please call, because when it rains, the cave can flood, and so we're not open. But no, just when we open, anybody's welcome. You just pay for your tickets, and then you can come down to the cave and enjoy the experience.
Yeah, it's not just the cave that's there, though, anymore, right?
No, we do have a cabin tour. It's just a replica of John Bell's cabin. It goes over the history and how the Bell Witch came to the Bell family. It goes more into details than you would hear in the cave.
Right. Yeah, and that's supposed to follow. Isn't it cool? That's the one thing I didn't get to see yet. Because when I was there, it was so hot.
During the summer, it has a metal roof, so the upstairs part, it does get pretty hot. But yeah, you'll have to come back.
I would have been back this year if things had been different.
You're right.
I'll have to join you when you go.
Yes, Yeah, that's the plan. Yes. I had her come in to Ohio just, what was it, 2 weekends ago now? Or a weekend ago?
Well,
I don't
know. I haven't even been home for 6 days yet, I don't think.
Oh, man. Anyway, time is different now in the time of COVID.
But, yeah.
She was here not too long ago. And I think I've got her convinced to come back. And I said we could take a road trip down to Adams.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that the new year we can reopen. I know that the Kirby's, their phone has been ringing off the hook, and people are disappointed that they can't go in this year. And I am too. I'm very disappointed because I do miss it a lot.
Yeah. And you guys get people from all over the world, right?
Yes, I have met people from Germany, from Australia, Africa, Japan. I've met everybody just about.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So what part in the legend of the Bell Witch, the story that we've got out there from a couple different authors, where does the cave figure into the overall legend of the Bell Witch?
The story is that how the cave tied into the Bell family is when they used the cave during the summer. It was a lot cooler, so they used it as like a refrigerator, and they would store their foods down there. One day, the Bell children, some neighbor children, were in the cave playing, and they climbed up to the second level of the cave. One of the little boys got stuck up there in some mud, and he knocked over his lantern, and the cave became completely dark inside. So the children started to panic, and they went to go get help. So while he was alone in the cave, in the story it says that the cave lit up really bright, and something jerked him free from the tunnel. Legend is that it was the Bell Witch. So that's how it ties into the Bell family. And some believe ever since they tore down the original cabin in 1848 that the spirit or whatever resides in the cave today. So that's why it's so world famous, why a lot of different activities happen in the cave today.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that it would just be, as far as maybe not even necessarily speaking about the Bell Witch legend itself, but the stuff that goes on in the cave, do you think that it's a witch, like one thing, or multiple entities?
I think it's multiple entities, and this is my opinion on it. Just above the cave entrance is Indian burials, and I think that's where all the activity is coming from, is from these Indians. There's been all sorts of different things that has taken place in the cave. And so that's what I think it is.
Yeah. Why do you think that they buried them there in that area?
Indians have a lot of different sacred traditions. One of them is their burials. They thought that caves were a path to the next life, and it was a portal for them. So this cave is very sacred. They did rituals in the cave. They used the cave. So when you have something like this, you are feeding off of this energy. And I think that's why we get so much activity in it.
Yeah. Now, I do remember you telling me once that there was some, I don't know if it was like that ground penetrating radar or something, so they could see how the burials are. Aren't they in a very particular body position?
Yes, they are buried in a fetal position facing east. And just based off of how they're buried, they date back to 2,000 to 3,000 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting information, and just the story itself is just fascinating. And I would say this is probably one of my most favorite paranormal activity in, I think, American history. Even schools around here study this for part of Tennessee history. And it's definitely a great story and something to get into and learn.
That's awesome. And they're still teaching it today.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yep.
I wish we had a ghost story around here that we were taught in history.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Have you noticed when you were talking about portals, it made me think of, and I think we talked about this once too, are there certain times that seem to be more active, like after earthquakes or moon cycles or, I don't know, around a solstice or something? Have you noticed an increase in activity in the cave?
Since I have been there, it can happen at any time. I have been down there knowing that it's going to be a full moon that night, or if we're doing cave tours during the night, like during October, we might have more activity. My last time I was down there doing a tour was actually on Halloween night, and my group, we got a lot of activity and even gave me chills to what was going on. So we never know when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We might go days, weeks, no activity. That's all I can tell you about that.
Yeah. What all has happened when you talk about activity? What are some examples of activity that's happened?
Most of the activities that have happened, we do hear sounds. A lot of people and myself have heard voices in the cave. We have gotten a lot of pictures of orbs off of cell phones, cameras, video cameras, taking pictures. We have, some people have said they felt like someone has touched them or pulled their hair. Those are the main things that have happened. Some say they've heard like whistling or rocks being thrown, but those are the most common activities that we have heard or seen with our phones.
Yeah. Does it seem that the activity, I guess I'm thinking of somebody that comes in there and they're really arrogant about it. Do those people mm-hmm. tend to attract more activity?
The ones that act arrogant would be the ones that take the rocks out of the cave. Like I said before, the rocks is a big thing with the cave. The legend is if you take a rock out of a cave, bad things will happen to you. And, of course, growing up, I've heard that. And I thought, yeah, this is not real. Well, when you come to the cave and when you come to the gift shop, you will see letters that people have wrote over the years about different things that have happened when they took a rock out of the cave. Mm-hmm. I have not taken a rock out, but I've had people on my group ask to take rocks. And yeah. I'm sure, whatever. By the end of, I would say about the end of the week, maybe the month, they would mail it back. Mm-hmm. And we get rocks in the mail every single day of the year. And I can say I've had people take rocks out of the cave and something crazy has happened on my next tour. Wow. And my husband warns me, don't bring rocks home, so I can't.
Yeah, that I wouldn't either. I would not. But that's...
There's just... Yeah. Go ahead.
Now you go.
There's just too much history behind the rock. And there's not just been one or 10, there's been hundreds of people smelling back these rocks. And I'm not taking a chance.
Yeah.
I'm just not taking a chance.
Well, one thing that you've been taking a chance on, though, is taking a doll. And aren't they getting letters now or have gotten issues with the dolls? Because Chris paints these porcelain dolls up to look spooky and then sells them in the gift shop. Didn't one get mailed back?
Yes, I think it was 2, maybe 3 years ago. They had sold a doll during our Halloween time and they mailed it back and it was all wrapped up. I think it had sage with it, I can't remember, but it did have a letter with it saying, ever since they bought this doll, their family has been falling apart, they've been having nightmares. Just horrible things have been happening since they bought a doll.
Mm-hmm.
So they took it back and they put it back on display. And someone bought it. And I'm like, you know, okay, but we have that letter still at the gift shop. So anybody that wants to come and read it, it's there. And I think actually you told me about the second one being in a haunted museum.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was sent to, which the museum has recently been relocated, but it was in Moundsville, West Virginia, the Archive of the Afterlife with the haunted artifact. And I saw that letter as well. The woman who sent it was a Bell descendant and went to visit the cave. And not only did she get a doll, but she also took rock. Double problems, but she did send the doll to this museum, and in a letter she said something along the lines of that her family was tired of being scratched and bitten. So yeah, that there is a doll from the Bellwitch Cave in the Archive of the Afterlife in West Virginia, which is cool.
Yeah, and then, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, and we have two
I'd
here.
I'd like one.
Yeah, when you come over, we will go down, because Chris has, I'm sure that she continues to add to the display, but last time I was there were probably 24 at least.
I don't know.
Wow.
She has a lot.
Yeah.
During the off season, that's her time to paint the doll. So beginning mm-hmm. of the year, she has all kinds of dolls.
Yeah.
But do you guys sell any online, or do we have to make it to the museum too?
Well, with Heather's second doll, I went and picked it out for her. And I met Seth, and Seth took it to her. So I don't mind. I can't do everybody, but I don't mind helping certain friends out. So
yeah, there you go.
Wonderful. Well,
and that was the great thing, is that the first time that I got to meet Kara, I had gone down and my youngest picked out a doll. Sasha is what she named her. Yeah. And this doll, I guess the week before we got there, had thrown itself from the top shelf in the cabin there, and somehow didn't break, even though she's porcelain. And that's the one that my daughter saw and wanted. And so we took her home. And then when I found out that when Small Town Monsters was going to be going down, because the Mark of the Bell Witch was, most of it was filmed down there, of course. And I called Kara. I was like, hey, can you get one of those dolls for me, since I wasn't able to go down this year because of COVID, and hand it to Seth, and I'll have Seth bring it back to me. And I didn't tell Seth, I don't think until they were already on the road to Tennessee, that he was going to be picking up a doll.
<That's>
And he was like, what are you doing to me? I just wish that I had been there to see their reaction when Kara walked over to them with this doll.
He handles it a lot better than my husband. Like, watching the video, he freaked out. Like, he did not want it in the house at all.
Yeah, she did send me the video. It was fantastic, because she had it setting up on a desk or a table, and he sat down, and then he just casually looked over and he caught it, and it not family safe. The He's like, Kara, what are you doing? It was great. And the kid,
yeah, he's like, you take that back right now. I can't. I bought it for somebody.
Didn't you say that one of your kids got concerned because you moved her from?
Yeah, my kids were scared to death. They didn't like it either. I moved it from the sunroom to my bedroom, and like the next day, the kids were like freaking out because it was gone. And I said, she's in my room. They're like, oh, thank goodness.
I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
My kids, with me working in the cave, and you know, they ask me about stories, and they have also been down in the cave. So they know the story, they know the legend, and that doll home, they were like, Mom has lost her mind to bring that doll here.
Wow. I'm so glad that you did it, though, and she's here and safe. We came up with her name, Blair.
I love it.
Yeah, Kara and I were bouncing ideas off of each other, and Blair worked really well. So yeah, you were one of the interviews for The Mark of the Bell Witch. And
yes,
I wanted to know,
so excited.
How did that go?
Much fun. I loved it. Seth and his friends were all super nice, and I'm very excited about when it gets to come out and we can watch it. So I'm really excited. It looks so good. I, like you know, said, most people that make films or documentaries or TV shows, but it's just, it's not how we picture it in here in Adam. We know the story, we know the legend, and when we see somebody making a film or a documentary, we expect it to be the story, to be real, and Seth, he really has gotten it, like, real facts, and it, I'm tickled to death about it.
Super excited for it to get out there too. And that this year, the timing is perfect because this year is the 200th anniversary of John Bell's death. And I think what is December 20th is whenever he died. And
yeah, December 20th, 1820.
Yep. And the movie's coming out December 15th, I believe. It'll be out in time. And the witch should be happy about that. She should be.
Yeah. Now, I've seen somewhere that they were going to have some kind of reunion or something in that. I don't know. I've just glanced on Facebook, so I think they're going to try to do some kind of ordeal for John Bell's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be cool. Of course, everything, this would have been a great year, again, to have the cave, if it could have been open, because it was the 200th anniversary. Hopefully everything gets back to normal next year. Because also in Adams, isn't there a play that they do every fall?
Yes, it's called The Spirit. It's a play about the legend of the Bell Witch. I have not seen it yet because I've been down in the cave, but I've heard great reviews about it. They didn't have it this year because of COVID, but I'm hoping and praying maybe next year I can go and watch it. And one of the descendants of John Bell, relatives, directs it.
It's
the grandson. So he directs it. I actually think he plays the part as John Bell. So,
that's fitting.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
Oh, one thing I wanted to ask, you talked about at where the cave is on the Kirby farm there, you've got the cave and they have the replica cabin, which is as close as possible to the original cabin, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And then though, if you go over to the school building, there's a cabin back behind there, which is where you shot interviews. What is the story? Like, how is that cabin connected to the Bell family? Because I feel like there's a lot of paranormal shows I've seen that go to that cabin and kind of make it seem like that's John Bell's, that's where the witch was.
And that's not the actual location or the cabin. That cabin was built years ago after they took down the original cabin. And some of the foundation and, like, the chimney and stuff like that, they did use to redo that cabin, and then years later they moved it to the Bell School, just to, you know, his part of history of Adams. A lot of people do take it mistaken as the original Bell cabin, and it's not. People say that there's activity in that Bell cabin. I've played in that cabin all my childhood, and I don't ever remember anything happening inside. If others have, I don't know, but that's pretty much all I know about that cabin.
Yeah, because that's one that I don't know if it's always even open to go inside.
No, it's only open certain occasions and when people want to do, like, documentaries of the Bell Witch. So when I was little, it was open all the time. We would go and play in it stuff, and nothing was inside. And then years later they started adding artifacts and different furniture and stuff to it, so it's only open certain times of the year now.
Do you have issues with my mind's all over the place because all these questions just came to my mind, but with the cave in particular, it's right on the Red River. And
yes, yeah, our cave sits right on the Red River, and coming out of the entrance of a cave is a natural spring. So the spring will run out through the entrance, and if we get a good heavy rain, you can really see the waterfall that it makes, and it flows into the Red River. Also along the Red River, we have canoers and people kayaking, and et cetera. And a lot of people don't know that the cave is by the Kirby. It's a private property, and they want to hike up to the cave or see the waterfall. And it's very dangerous. It's a very steep climb. And so we have no trespassing signs displayed. And of course, some of those people don't know how to read and they climb up and we have to get kind of rough with them. But really, that's the only time is when that's the other activity we have going on too.
Right. Yeah, so. the first time that I was in the cave, I remember after we went out of the main room, Chris had started down the walkway to the second room, and I was hanging back taking pictures. There was a young man that was also doing the same thing, and we heard this voice, and we both stood up. We're like, did you hear that? To each other. We were so excited because, oh my gosh, I just heard something for real. And then we heard it again. And then when we started looking around, it was actually somebody who had done that exact thing. They climbed up and then they had started to try to get in the cave. And then by that point, we'd gotten a hold of Chris and she had to chase him out of there.
But, oh, yeah. You don't want to make Chris mad. That's like the number one thing that makes Chris mad. And it's not pretty. You do not want to cross that line with her. I advise, do not climb up the bluff.
Yeah, for multiple reasons. Personal safety and whatever may happen if Chris gets upset. Oh, man. So have you seen anything odd in the cave?
I haven't seen anything with my own eyes, but I have more than once got a presence that something or someone other than me and my group was in there. It was very distinct. Feel it in the air. And, you know, I think with me being in there, and even Chris can say this as well, I think we're in there all the time and we can pick up different energies and different things in the cave. And it's nothing scary. It's just you're not alone. And someone's watching. You do get that cold chills feeling. But I have not once feel threatened or scared. Or in a way, sometimes it's like a comfort-like feeling. But yes, I haven't seen anything, but I definitely have felt it, that something was there.
Yeah. Now, Chris has seen things. Went in there, correct?
Yes. She's been doing cave tours for her house ever since they've owned it. And when they first bought the property, they didn't know a whole lot about the Bell Witch. For someone who's never been in this area or don't really know the story and them coming in new, it definitely was attracted to Chris. And she's down in the cave all the time. And so she picked up things and have seen things that a lot of people haven't. And I know there's one story she talks about that she's seen like a portal. I think it was in the first cave, and she said that there was a little boy off to the side, and she was about to take her group down the hallway, second hall, and she was about to go talk to the boy to bring him along, and he vanished into the wall.
Wow.
And look, I haven't, I think it's just because she's down there. They are comfortable around her. I'm hoping that I'll get to have that experience sometime in the future, the longer I stay there. And so I'm hoping that I get to experience that one day as well.
Yeah, I hope you do too, because I want to hear about it when it happens.
I don't even know what I'd do.
Mm-mm.
To see a full-bodied apparition like that, and then to just watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would really throw me off for sure.
And I'm very, ever since I've been with the kid, I get very fascinated. And sometimes people say you don't want to get too involved. Because when you do get into evolve, you get into something that you don't want to get into.
Uh-huh.
And and my husband, you're getting too involved. And it's like curiosity kills the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to know more, but I respect it. If it comes to me or if I feel a presence, I just let it be. I don't talk. I just stand there or I'll try to take pictures, but I just respect it, and hopefully it's nothing demonic that is there. I haven't felt that way with it, but so
that's good.
Who knows?
No, I think that's good, and like, especially if you've been there as long as you have, I would think that if there was something that was malicious, you'd sense it, that something really off. So I wouldn't worry about it. And I know enough to know that sometimes your husband gets concerned over stuff that's not that big of a deal to a lot of people. But he seems a little more superstitious about things sometimes.
I think people get scared because they don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Since I've been around it, I accept it more. And so
right.
When it does happen, it's not like a big shock.
Right.
I said, I just really see that. Oh, God, that was really cool.
Yeah.
But
then if you're bringing dolls home.
That's another story. Yeah, after I done took Blair to Seth, I got a lecture after. So.
Aw, I'm sorry. Oh, man. That stinks. Lady Anne, do you have any other questions that have popped up in your mind?
I've been fascinated with this interview, and it just pulls me more to wanting to go there and check it out and see what I feel, and definitely want one of the dolls at our growing collection here. So, yeah. No, I'm just really enjoying listening and taking it all in. So
it's definitely a very fascinating story, and it's like I was telling Heather, this is something that we could go on all day to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been days that we have talked about, and it just it draws you in, and I think that's the curse. You get drawn in and you're stuck in it, and you know. So
this is true. There's definitely been times where we've been messaging back and forth until the early hours in the morning, trying to figure out a picture, or we'd read something and then we start talking about it.
Oh, did you tell her about that you saw the article in Supernatural?
I did not, but I put it on, I had shared it on Facebook.
I seen it on Facebook. Everybody keeps telling me I need to watch that show. I tried to get into it, and I can't get into it.
No. I love that show. But I've seen that first episode, of course, trying to get people to watch it. I've watched it, the first episode, especially many times, and never had I noticed that on the one wall when they're scanning over that there was an article taped there about the Bell Witch until she was over here for her trip from Oregon a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, there she is. And I watched that first episode 15 years ago when it premiered. And I'm like, so the witch has been in my life. For at least 15 years. It started off slow, just subtle. And now that's it. It is my favorite ghost story. That's another thing. It's funny, she's called the Bell Witch, but it really is like a ghost story above all else, mm-hmm. I think. But yeah, I'm excited for it to come out, and I'm really glad that you took time out of your day to talk to us today, Kara.
It worked out perfect. I just happened to have the day off, and so it worked out great.
Yeah, I'm so glad. We won't keep you on here.
Me too. This has been fascinating.
Yeah. It's been awesome. We'll let you go. And again, thank you so much. And
oh, you're welcome. I appreciate y'all getting in touch with me for this. This is I definitely enjoy these type of interviews because it's something I love. And I really do. I appreciate y'all thinking about me for this interview.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll have you on again for maybe we'll do a Patreon episode and get some more stories out of you. And talk more about the history of the area and stuff like that, because I know about all of that and the cemeteries around and
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got a fountain of information there. That. All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. Y'all stay warm and keep safe. And I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Heather. Bye.
Bye, Tara. Awesome. I think that went really well.
That was absolutely fantastic. And I loved sitting back and listening to it. It's one of those things where I do have the book, The Bell Witch, The Full Account.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I've ended up with 13 other books.
Yeah.
within the last several months. Yep. And
I do that.
I haven't been able to really dive into it. But it's something that I've always been fascinated with. And one thing that I did always hear is that once you start looking into it or reading about it or somehow that it's on your radar, that stuff starts happening. Like you might have dreams or something like that. And I think that might have been, as much as I don't discuss being superstitious necessarily,
mm-hmm.
I think that did play part of why I really haven't gotten into this book yet.
Oh, she's fine. The witch is fine. She's my buddy. And
yeah,
I mean, as far as, I don't know if you, first of all, you got the full account. So that's Pat Fitzhugh's book, I believe. And that's a good one.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's a good one to have. The way he's broken it up, it's a lot easier to get through because it's almost like you can find the bullet points that you're looking for and then go into more detail there. So it's a really good book. It's the one that I usually recommend to people anyway. But as you go through, I don't know. I like her. I don't know. Clearly she supposedly killed a dude, but she's got sass and spunk and she's got a sense of humor. I don't know. It's hard to not like her, at least for me.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to get into it and see what I find out and how I feel towards her and how it comes off and share with you any dreams that I might have. And yeah, I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you think of it when you get into it. And then on the 15th, when the movie comes out, really, you've got the book, and that'll go into more detail, but the movie mm-hmm. does a really good job of covering the story. Not every facet, of course, because they've only got so much time, but they cover a large portion of it, and the movie's broken up.
So when's it coming out, and where can we find it?
Oh, we're still doing the podcast?
yep.
Yeah, okay,
this
cool.
This one, it all worked out.
All right. So, yeah. The movie comes out December 15th, and it will be available mm-hmm. on most major platforms like Amazon and I think Vimeo. Don't quote me on that. And, of course, you can always order the actual physical copies from Small Town Monsters. I'm typing it in to make sure it's just smalltownmonsters.com. And I'm not misremembering since I'm on the spot. SmallTownMonsters.com. So you go to the shop there and you can pre-order. I mean, I don't know when we're putting this out, but you can pre-order it, of course, before December 15th. And, and have it in time for to celebrate the anniversary of John Bell's death? Commemorate him in his unfortunate demise due to a witch. Poisoning them. But so the movie in general, they do, which you'll get to see, that it's recreations, cool. like time period appropriate recreations intermixed mm-hmm. with interviews and it's broken up into chapters and it'll go through the story and then at the end get into some of the more modern day stuff. But there's definitely, I personally think that they could have more to tell as far as modern day stuff. I really think that's a thing that Seth could dive into someday if he so chose.
Yeah.
I'll help you with that, Seth, if you want. But yeah, so it's going to be great. I'm really excited to hear what the reactions are for that.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it yet, so I might have to go watch it, and then we can do another episode talking about kind of reviews and go into it more. And
yeah, it's fun to read some of the. Yeah, there have been some reviews that have come out so soon already, is what I mean, and so far, and
yeah,
it's fun to watch them or to see how people interpret it. So yeah, I'm super excited, and I'm glad that it worked out where it could actually be released this year, because I'm not sure. I'm not sure initially when this was even born into an idea a few years ago, if there had been an actual decision to aim for 2020. I think that's just how it ended up working out closer to time. So that works out well. Anniversary-wise. Yeah. Or Seth is a mastermind and did plan it several years ago. That's also possible. I don't know. But I really think that a lot of it just had to do with the timing of everything and their other projects, and it was meant to be. And then for it to be in December as well. So, yeah. All right.
We'll get it figured out.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.